Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new
way. Good morning, Austin, Texans, and welcome to B&E. I'm your host, Bucky Godbolt, along with, of course, the wonderful producer, Tyus Bachter, doing what he does best. But I have a partner today, a different partner, and one that I'm always proud to have in studio with us. Michael Hargis joined me this morning. And, Michael, thank you very, very much once again for joining me this morning. My partner, E. Hogan, on the road with his boys at Pluckers, enjoying the sunny Miami, Florida. Where did he say he was going, Ty? He was going to the, like, Everglades or something? Watch your ass down there at the Everglades.
I know he packed his Speedo. So he'll come back with a good tan.
South Beach.
A winter tan.
Yeah, he'll come back to that. But thank you for joining me, Mike. I appreciate that. Ty, always thank you. Doing such a great job producing this show. And I'll start off by saying good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated, and we appreciate it each and every day. And, Mike, as I said, I appreciate you. And over the next couple of days, we will have some different guests. And that's right. Tomorrow, the return of Monty Williams.
Uh-oh.
Old Man Radio starts tomorrow morning at 6. 6 to 8, Monty will join us. And then Zay Collier will join us from 8 to 10 for the next 2 days. And he'll be back on Monday. And then guess what? When he goes, he comes back, guess who goes in? Later, y'all.
And then I'm out after that.
Then you're out. That's right. You're out on the 8th for that remainder of that week. You have some surgery to have done. And
I thought it was for because I already know that Ty likes to move around a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I thought for sure he was planning a road trip somewhere.
No.
I'm a homebody.
Okay.
Can't get out of this beautiful city. It's hard for me.
Text line is 512-337-3776. You can always give us a call at 512-447-3776. We may take a call or two, but we do this every time he goes. We always say we do, but we really, really don't. But we may take a call if you really want to call in, talk some Cowboys. But, Mike, obviously top on the list is congratulations to Chris Jackson, who's the new wide receiver coach at the University of Texas.
Yeah, no doubt.
That is a good deal for – you know, you can get a receiver coach. I don't need a buddy. I need a coach now for this group. This is the group that needs that sternness about them and get them back on spot and back on point with what the head coach would like to do in the passing game. And Chris Jackson's a young guy that Sark has known from way back. I mean, almost to the high school days.
Correct.
In California, which is a good thing. And I need him to coach. I don't need a buddy.
Right, and that's
with those dudes.
That's one of the biggest things for me when you sit back and you look at what the season brought to us. There was a lot of high expectations coming in to this season when you bring in a quarterback, because I've heard you talk about it, Quinn dropping them bombs, throwing them bombs.
Oh, yeah, throwing them bombs.
Well, he threw those bombs, but other people were not catching those bombs.
No.
So when you see that part of the wide receiver core not excel, those are some of the things that you wanted to see. But then you look at what Chris Jackson was able to do at the NFL level.
Oh, yeah.
You look at Christian Kirk. You look at Zay Jones. You look at how they grew as a wide receiver core.
And guys who have been in – not rookies, but guys who have been in the NFL
absolutely.
Got better.
Absolutely. And I was very critical of the time when they gave that money to Christian Kirk. I'm like, what are you doing giving this young man this money? Not necessarily anything against him, but he hadn't proven anything. Well, then he comes out and gets over 1,000 yards, leads that team
in
receptions. And then our man Zay Jones from right here in Austin, Texas, goes out and has a huge year as well. So I think Chris Jackson kind of is going to be that bridge that we were waiting for. Nothing against Brendan Marion. I thought he was going to be a great coach. Maybe he was in that area where things weren't going the way he thought they were going to
sure.
be, and the adjustments weren't being made by the wide receivers. But now you move it, you bring it in somebody else with that NFL experience, and I'm excited to see
what's
happening.
Yeah, I just need the fundamentals of the game.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
Catch the ball.
Yeah, I played receiver, you know, and was recruited a lot of places, Penn State and Clemson and Syracuse. I ended up at a place like Boston College. But the reason I got a scholarship was to catch the ball.
It
wasn't.
Exactly.
I mean, I wasn't but 4'6". I wasn't burning
anybody.
You
wasn't a burner, but that was fast back then, Buck.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I had big feet, but my deal was you had to catch the ball. If it hits your
absolutely.
Hands, that's your job is to catch. And if you get a scholarship to go to college and you can't catch, why you got a scholarship?
That's what we were talking about.
This ain't a track team.
Exactly. I don't care how fast you are.
Uh-uh.
If you can't put the ball in the basket, it doesn't matter how fast you can run.
It doesn't. And congratulations to him. Maybe things will change. And also to Jamal Finner. I mean, Coach Finner, that is awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for him.
I really am. I'm excited for the Austin area and the kids in the Austin area who you may lose a coach in a coaching way over at LBJ, but what you're gaining is some notoriety nationally.
Absolutely.
With him becoming, you know, his position will help all those kids. He ain't going anywhere, guys. He's still moving from Austin.
Right, and the other part of it is too, Buck, I mean, you think about it. You talk about it all the time about being able to camp out at somebody's house and making sure that those kids
he
can camp and go home.
And
he can go back home.
He can go home
and
get some
right
lunch and
come right back. So I'm with you on that. I'm excited for him and the opportunities, and I'm excited for the community.
Oh, yeah.
Because think about it. How often do you have somebody from the area that gets a chance to go and work at the University
of Texas? Not that area.
Exactly.
We talked about it. I talked about it with, who was it yesterday we talked to? Burton.
Bobby Burton.
Bobby Burton yesterday. Yeah. I said, Bobby, hey, how about this? We got somebody that's actually coming from the other side of
the
I-35
tracks,
that's
right?
coming here to actually work here. I said, I couldn't get a recruit to come across the street and come for a visit.
Yeah, and I remember
when Bobby
was talking about Ken Alexander, the LBJ linebacker that ended up going to Florida
mm-hmm.
State. That was my recruiting time. I was growing up with those players, with Greg Lane and those types of players that were coming from there. And you're right. It's crazy. My cousin was what they called it, blue chip back then,
mm-hmm.
a blue chip recruit from Colleen Ellison, and he didn't want to come to Texas either. And I was doing
he
didn't want to come on campus. And he even had, remember back in the day you had capas, the shoes capas?
Oh, yeah.
He had some burnt orange capas. And was not coming to the University of Texas, and it was frustrating because they didn't feel as welcomed at
right.
that time. So I'm glad that they're making some changes. I'm glad that Coach Sark is starting to see the type of people that he needs to break in. You saw what happened with Chris Gilbert, the
sure.
prior position. People started coming to the University of Texas and started looking at the University
of Texas.
Well,
you have to take care of your – I mean, you're talking about your recruiting base in Central Texas. How about
absolutely.
Your own home? Your home in Austin. There's too many
absolutely.
Players that are going – to some of these schools all over. Notre Dame's, Ohio State comes all over the state and
exactly.
goes crazy. But you can't lose players in your home city because they won't come across the street. You got to make people feel welcome.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not to make you feel welcome. You're going to be there for years, so you got to make it so everybody's comfortable. Not everybody is going to welcome everybody. I understand that because
no matter
that's
where
just the
you
way
go.
Of the world.
Yeah,
it's,
no matter where
it's
you
the
go.
Way of the world. You know, some people are going to have advantages, some are going to have disadvantages. But you have to make somebody feel like, Can I compete? I can compete here. Can you compete not only on the football field or in the athletic field? You've got to be able to compete in the classroom.
Absolutely.
It's a lifetime pitch. It's not a four-year pitch.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is where, I mean, you come back to live just like everybody else. We talk about Sam Ellinger coming back to his home and everything else. Mm-hmm. Some of these kids from
Michael Griffin.
Yeah. To stay, this is where you live. This is your home. This is where you want to come to work when your time is done academically and when your time is done. And it's the people that you can meet that are local people. That's what, to me, because that's what it's college huge. Was all about, who I met.
Right, and I bet it was.
Yeah, it was, brother. Yes, it was.
I bet it was.
I met them all.
I'm sure you did.
I met them all. From Carly Simon.
You put your time in.
From Carly Simon to my first wife.
I bet you think this song is about you, right?
I didn't miss out on opportunities. Opportunities were there. And I had the gift of the gab, and I was gabbing. I wanted to meet friends of friends. I mean,
absolutely.
That's what going to college is about, too, you know.
I talk about it all the time. That is the one – people always ask me, they're like, Harge, do you regret not coming to the University of Texas? Absolutely. The reason why is because of the network, strictly because of the network. I played baseball. I was going to be around some guys that could get it in. But I'm talking about that lifetime decision because I'm born and raised in Killeen, Texas. I knew I was going to be in the Austin area. It was either going to be Austin, Houston, or Dallas. I was going to be in Texas.
Yeah, you weren't going anywhere else.
I wasn't going anywhere else. But when you get that opportunity to network and build those relationships, because what Ty said is right. This is a lifetime decision. It's just not a four-year decision. This is a lifetime decision, and you want to be in a place where people recognize you. You want to be in a place. I don't care what anybody says. You want to be recognized when you go out somewhere.
Yes, you
do. It's important to a lot of people to say, oh, man, I remember that guy. I see it all the time when we're doing our pregame show, when Rob Babers gets a chance to see a lot of people.
Sure.
And people come up. They loved him on the football field, and now they love him every single day. Right here on 104.9. So you get a chance to build your network and continue to grow. But to your point, Buck, it's good that they got Jamal here.
Yes.
Because it's going to be a huge situation for all these young players too.
Yeah, and he's got a great personality. He's a personality guy.
Yep.
He's a people person. He's going to fit in well. And I don't know what his aspirations are. Does he want to be a coach later on? I don't know. I know that's a good gig.
Who are you telling? I'm like, how do I sign up for that?
That's a good gig right there.
Hey, what'd you say? I can talk to a lot of people.
Hey, I ain't that old. I'm about to turn 68, but I'm not that old.
And nowadays, all you got to do is get in one of them golf carts. You'll be just fine, Buck.
Thank you very much. I don't have to jog out with them anymore.
No, not anymore.
All right. Also last night, the University of Texas basketball, 89-75, nice sweep of Oklahoma State. That's a nice sweep, guys.
That's huge.
That is well done. And that is a group last night. That basketball game, they were the aggressor from the beginning to the end. They had a little lull, and then they got into a stretch just before halftime and stretched it out. But a lot of scoring by everybody last night. That was good to see, of course. Marcus Carr, 21 points last night. Timmy Allen with 17, which I think that's where Timmy Allen should be every game.
Yep.
And that's 15 to 17-point
well,
range.
Most of it came in the second half, which was huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of playing off of Marcus Carr.
Everybody's playing off of Marcus Carr right now.
Yes.
Everybody's playing off of Marcus Carr.
Brock Cunningham had 24 minutes and 15 points last night. It was huge.
Three from three.
And got to take those shots now.
You definitely have to take those shots. And the fact that he's knocking them down. Because remember, when he first got here, it was not a pretty sight. It was clank, 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 clank. And
he's getting open shots.
And he's getting open. That's what they were doing. They were leaving him open because they didn't feel like he was consistent enough with his shot. But now he's starting to knock those down, and he's looking like he's not afraid to take them. Because before, he was very hesitant. It wasn't a smooth transition. Mm-hmm. And I talked to you about this before the show. I was wondering, do you think Chris Ogden has helped him a little bit with his shooting? Because again, he wasn't that great of a shooter. I don't know what it was like for him in high school.
He's always been like able to hit that shot.
Okay,
and in high school, it was always with a hand in his face. Honestly, because he was 3 years below me,
okay.
So I was a senior when he was a sophomore, and they were all those him and Lucas Plyman were
two
standout, and Will Baker. Well, yeah. Will Baker was a year below them, but they were standout as freshmen. You know, and Brock. He was, and Matthew Meyer too.
Yeah.
But he was in tune. But he's been in tune to playing defensive.
No,
guy.
But he's always been a defensive guy.
Yeah,
he got every single rebound in high school. But he probably scored 20 points a game, and I'd say about 12 of those came from either 3-point land or mid range jumpers. So he's always had the ability to shoot. I think the confidence level wasn't there for the first few years on campus, though, just, you know, based off of what was around him.
Right. Well, Rodney Terry had them going from the beginning. You know, as I said, they had the little run, you know, just before halftime when you know, after Oklahoma State hit a three, it was like starting to shrink a little bit, but then they went on a little run. And then when they came out after halftime, I was wondering if they were going to get going, stay aggressive, correct, or were they going to sit back with a little bit of a lead. They were aggressive right out from halftime and continued that. I mean, that's 89 points. That's back to what I'm saying, Ty. That's it. That's what I need to see. Where's my 100 points? Where's my 90 points? Where's my 80 points? 75.
Well, remember last time they played, it was 56-46.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was ugly.
10-point win.
And I thought last night, that's what initially, I thought that's what Oklahoma State wanted to do again. I thought they wanted to make it an ugly basketball game, because if they can make it ugly, they're going to still be in it. But not at all now. Now you start to see, once Marcus Carr started going, you had Dylan Dessou, who played a big game last night. And again, you talk about Timmy Allen. I don't care if it's the first half. I don't care if it's the second half. If he can get to 17
or points,
being at
be
15
good
to 17,
they should
points
be winning those games. Very,
and
home or on the road,
at least be in the basketball game.
Yep.
And then you get a game that Marcus Carr had last night. I mean, I'm kind of torn with Marcus, because there's sometimes that I see him playing, and I'm like,
you think his game could even be better?
It could be if he could get off the ball sometimes. And it looked like yesterday he took it upon himself to play the point guard position instead of getting off the ball and getting it back where they were looking for him. Because there were plenty of times he would dribble, 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 get to that 10-second mark, pass it off, and then run back to go get it so he can get the shot off. But I'm not complaining. Texas went out there and did what they needed to do.
Did you feel like they push the pace?
Absolutely.
They did?
Absolutely. And that's where I think they're good, too, because when they go out there with all the guards, that's where they excel. Those guards can play like that. There were some times last night, Tyrese Hunter with the half-court pass on a dime to Brock Cunningham streaking to the basket. Those are those types of buckets that you need to look at and try to get some of those cheap ones. I'm always looking for those fast break points and those cheap buckets. And last night, Texas only had 2 points on the fast break, and that was the one with Brock Cunningham. They pushed it up the floor.
Their bench play has been really – it's got to be one of the best benches in the Big 12 right now.
One of the deepest,
Yeah, they've got a pretty good depth. I'm watching last night. If Oklahoma State had anybody to come off the bench, they really didn't score.
Do they still have are they still in, like, NCAA double-A probation for that?
I don't think
–
I think they're done, aren't
I think they are.
They're done.
I think they're still – I think they have one more year.
One more?
I think that was one of the biggest discussions that happened at the beginning of the year. They were very upset
about
it.
But they can make the tournament this year,
they can
right?
make the regular – the Big 12 tournament.
But they can't make the NCAA.
I don't think they can make the NCAA. I'm not sure – but I know at the very beginning of the year they were talking about it. How will they be able to excel if they're still on probation?
Okay, I'll do some research on that.
Yeah, I mean I like the bench play. As I said, that the depth on this bench is good, and they did push the ball. But I mean they rebounded. They did a little bit of everything last night. I thought they still could have played better defense. As you said, they didn't give up that. I mean, they gave up 75 last night. Still, I'm thinking, but they got 89. Well, I'm all about that 80 points. If this group gets in the 80s, they shouldn't lose any games.
Right. Well, and you talking about that, the 75, but take a look at this. They led for 36 minutes. And that's like start to finish type stuff where you can get out ahead. And going back to what you were saying about the bench points, just think about this. Christian Bishop only played 7.5 minutes. And Arterio Morris, who I'm still waiting for him to really get going, he only played 9 minutes and 29 seconds. I mean, he's not even giving you what you thought you were going to get from him coming off the bench, because he's an athletic kid, McDonald's All-American. It just looks like he's not able to get into the flow of the game when he's getting his time.
Well, he's just not getting enough minutes, you know.
Yeah.
There's three guards in front of him that are upper class, or Tyrese Hunter's a sophomore.
Yeah, and these games, they don't have these big leads to be throwing guys in.
I mean, he definitely has he's come in and scored double digits a few times, though.
Right.
You know, he has the ability. I think him being that, like, kind of microwave guy, that if you put him in and he does hit his first few shots, I think he will go from that, like, 9-10 minute range to, like, a 16-17 minute range, just depending on, you know, how those first few minutes go.
And again, we don't know what's going on at practice either. I mean, he may not be, you know, exuding himself at practice you're not being able to crack that lineup. Because I know if you're out there playing hard, because the most important thing you can do is play some defense. you do, if you could go out there and play some defense.
Well, in this system, you have to play defense to get playing time.
But in this conference, you better.
Exactly.
Or you get rolled over.
Well, in the past, we've also seen, you know, these higher recruits coming out of high school. If they don't get playing time by now, they're usually either out completely out of the lineup, you know, transfer.
Getting ready to pack their bags. Yeah. Yep.
And the fact that he's not and he's still getting minutes this far in the Big 12 play, I think is a good sign for, you know, March Madness, the outlook for him going forward.
Like Bucky making Trey Mitchell leave?
Yeah, you see him shooting him threes for West Virginia? Trey Mitchell, after I talked to him about you need to shoot more threes, that guy left here and went down to West Virginia and shooting threes everywhere.
Harsh, you know who Eric Andre is?
Yeah.
He looks just like Eric.
He does look like him.
Like, that's all I can think about now that he shaved his fro. He has like the mini Eric Andre fro.
Yeah, Bucky told him, keep shooting that thing. Keep shooting
that
thing.
I looked at him, I said, dude, you need to keep shoot that three. The guy said, I'm out of here.
He was gone a week later.
He was banking threes, and Bucky wanted him to keep shooting.
You want DC to shoot more threes too?
Yeah. I'm not talking, I don't want Dylan to shoot any more three. I want him to go ahead and give me some rebounds. He did well last night. I'll take that output right there.
Eight boards.
The big man is definitely the biggest concern moving forward, though.
Always.
You know, not having a true guy in there that can – it's more of a defensive issue than an offensive issue.
Very much so. Yep.
So yeah. I like to see how they address that.
They don't have a rim defender. They got guys that will go up there and fight you, but will get fouls in the process.
Correct.
So they'll give up a bunch
of
fouls.
They will give up some fouls for it.
Yeah, I mean, Brock is scrappy, and he played a lot of the five last night. But when you have a team like Purdue that has a 7'3" guy.
And another guy who looks like he's 7 foot. They got two dudes in their lineup that are huge.
I watched them this weekend. I don't see how they're a top three team. I know they can beat a team like Texas that doesn't have the depth at center like we're talking about. But that Zach Edey guy, I feel like you could get him in foul trouble or just him on defense. It's like having Boban Marjanovic.
But those are guys that they don't even have to get off the floor. They just stick their arms and stick them up in the air.
And they want to play ugly.
Oh.
That's why when you say they don't look like, that's how they want it to be. That's how Big Ten basketball has been forever. And Purdue has been that type of team for a very long time. That's why it's crazy to me every single time I'm watching them. I'm like, how are they beating people convincingly? Convincingly.
Well, to start out this show, I didn't tell the folks out there, the loyal listeners, of course, the you mullets out there, and, of course, the show of the people. Harge couldn't get in the building, y'all. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go again. I'm telling you.
Who was the guy from the New York Jets? Jamal Adams. When he was trying to get in and his key card wasn't working. And then he finds out he got traded.
You know, we've had
That's how I felt this morning. I kept going, uh-oh.
We've had people disappear here lately.
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm like,
uh-oh. I said, hey, Buck, are you here?
I said, we lost one on MLK weekend. And I'm like, Black History Month's coming up in February. And this dude can't get in the building. I said, we're not even the Black History Month. All 28
days.
Somebody's
going to come in here in an hour and be like, what are you doing
exactly.
here?
Exactly. They're
we traded you to that other state.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here going through my emails.
Oh, my goodness.
See if all my email, because I tried to send an email this morning. I was like, did it go through?
Dude, because that's when you know. When your car doesn't work and it doesn't open, the door doesn't open,
and it's
4 o'clock in the morning. It's
exactly.
Like,
So I'm sitting there. And I'm swiping, and I walk around, I swipe again. I was like, man, this ain't normal. So then
he's swiping all the different
doors. So then I said, Buck, can you come and get me? He was like, uh-oh. So he comes in and gets me. We come up the elevator, and I start swiping all the doors down the hallway.
So we're not even to Black History Month.
And I'm like, it's not working.
Man, it's not working.
They're going to ask me, did you have it by your phone?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. I did.
Yeah,
but everybody
doesn't
has
like
it.
That. It's a magnet.
Okay, so then I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
I got the super one. Mine works no matter what. I can drop it in the toilet and pick it up, and it's going to work. Or I'm going to throw a rock through the window. That's how I'm going
to
get in here.
I was trying to figure out how I was getting in here, Ty.
Listen, other Big 12 games last night, TCU over OU 79-52. Iowa State got a nice win over K-State. K-State has been hot.
Iowa State
beat them.
State's undefeated at home, 11-0 this year.
Yeah,
yes, they are.
We got a lot of teams 6-2 in conference
last night, though.
You got a lot of 6-2s here. I think three of them, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
TCU looks like the hottest team playing right now. They're big trouble team that nobody wants to play.
They made an adjustment. Texas pushed them and pushed them around pretty good, but you're right. They're a team that seems to be getting better and better.
It's another veteran team.
Yes.
Yep. Another veteran team.
I mean, the Big 12, I think it's it seems like it's full of super senior guys at this point.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about
it is.
You know, COVID.
Well, it's kind of college basketball, isn't it?
It is great for college basketball.
Teams like North Carolina, they got youth that are playing. They recruit to play.
Well, you think this, you know, the COVID year and the extra eligibility and guys staying longer has affected programs like Kentucky that relied on one-and-dones for so long, you know, just not having the consistency there. And because, like, I mean, what, the Blue Bloods this year, Duke, I know I've talked about Duke with both of y'all. They are just – they suck this year. They lost to Virginia Tech 2 days ago. They can't play anywhere – they can't play away from home. Do you think they even make the tournament this year?
Duke is Duke. They're going to find a way.
They're going to put them in. Like, if they're
going to get some wins if they're close.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it was you or maybe it was somebody else that they're going to bring back Coach K.
Yeah, I was texting.
You were like, they're about to bring back
Coach mid-season. K. I mean, I know he still has his office.
He's definitely around the facility.
Absolutely.
And he does not want to see Duke go down like this, for sure.
I mean, what changed? I realize they haven't been as good recently, you know, the past few years, but
the fear, the coach,
the fear of losing, of just being,
and Coach K getting on that sideline, staring you down,
it's
a little bit, screaming.
It's a little bit of that fear. That's why I said, even with the, you know, with a young coach, wide receiver coach coming in here, I don't need a buddy for these guys at wide receiver.
Yep,
they're supposed to be these guys are supposed to be talented. I need a coach to coach the wide receivers and get all these guys on the same page. I don't need him. He don't have to be friends with them.
Right.
He ain't got to put his arms around them, but so often. But get them to do the things that they need to do so this football team can play in a championship game on its way out of here.
Yeah.
Because as I said to you before, Harge, and we'll get to that here shortly, but if this football team doesn't play in the Big 12 championship next year, they become Mississippi State in the SEC immediately to me. They don't become – the Alabamas, the Georgias,
right. They
don't. I mean, they become Mississippi State,
especially with all that.
And somebody will
that
say to
have.
Me, "What do you mean? How can they beat Mississippi State?"
Right. I'm looking at Ole Miss. I'm okay.
I don't need them to become
A&M.
I don't need them to
too.
Become A&M and Vanderbilt. I don't need that.
Correct.
Going in.
I agree.
But if they don't get this wide receiver group together and start making plans and moving this football offensively, because they're not going to have their running back next year, it could get ugly.
Yeah, and that's not a good look.
Well, at least there's more bodies in that room this year to, you know, find three or four guys that you can actually count on to catch the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to put the pressure on some of the others that aren't getting it done.
Right. I mean, a few of those guys are going to be gone by the time next season starts.
You know, I already said that. The transfer portal giveth and it taketh away.
We already lost Troy O'Meary.
Yep.
I mean,
who?
Troy O'Meary, your guy.
He said, who?
That guy never played, did he?
He did
like,
not.
Never, ever.
I think he got a couple plays and a couple games, but it was never to the point where
I feel bad for
he
him.
Became a
injuries.
Feature.
I feel bad about the injuries, but when you say that name, I always say, who's that guy?
I think he went to Arizona State.
He did.
Did he?
Probably
become a star.
He did.
Get out of Austin,
maybe,
become a star.
Maybe. You know it happens a lot.
All right, we got to take a quick break, come back, talk some talk some more Longhorn basketball. Talk some basketball in general. We're live, local, digital on the Horn app and, of course, at hornfm.com. Mike Harge with me this morning.
B&E.
Welcome back to B&E. E. Hogan taking a little bit of a break here for the next couple days. Mike Harge joining me this morning. Ty's here, of course. Mike, and Ty. The law firm of Michael, and Tyrone. How's that?
I like it.
Good stuff this morning. Of course, we're talking Longhorn basketball. Nice victory by the Horns last night. And as they continue on, they will be playing, is it Saturday against Tennessee?
It is
Saturday.
They
head to Knoxville against Coach Barnes's.
College game day will be the feature. Texas will be there for college game day.
Well,
and it's kind of cool, too, because they're going to be reuniting Rodney Terry with Coach Barnes.
He was an assistant for Coach Barnes, right?
That's right. That's right. For a long time. He was a long time
assistant. Is that the group? He was with them when they went to Final Four, correct? I believe he was with them on that team.
That might be true. Well, no, because I think, what's his name, Frank Haith, and there's another coach that's out there coaching right now, but I think that was the crew.
Well, they head to Knoxville on Saturday, and that will be, speaking of physical, that will be nasty and physical, the number four Vols. That will be a physical brand of football. They don't have the bigs, but they're going to have to go in there with Tennessee's bigs and fight and scrap.
It's going to be a scrappy basketball game.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe there will probably be a lot of fouls in that game. In the
there
SEC.
Will be blood.
This is a battle, and this is going to be a future game. I mean, don't forget, the Texas Longhorns will be playing
right.
in the SEC here shortly. So these are the types of battles you'll be going up against every single week. We know how good the Big 12 is, but right now you're going to get a chance to watch the number four ranked team in the country in Tennessee.
All right, Mike, I had to get to this. You know, we've been doing this. It's only Wednesday, so we – been dissecting the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's painful. I just got to get your take on it. You're a Cowboys fan. You understand what's going on. You and Ty are Cowboys fans. I'm a lifelong Minnesota Viking fan, so I know the pain. Not, I mean, I know real pain of not winning Super Bowls and having disappointment. You have Super Bowls in your pocket, even though Ty wasn't even born.
Ty has never seen it. Ty has never seen it.
But people he knows, I mean, yeah. Parents and stuff, they've exactly. got those in their pocket. They understand what's going on.
Ty is like my son, both of them. They both look at me and like, how are you a fan of this? And I was like, I remember the glory days.
Quincy Carter was the quarterback when I started watching the Cowboys.
Quincy was a former baseball player, by the way, too. Don't forget that. But, yes, I sit and you sit and I think the biggest thing, because Rod Babers asked me this the other day, are you upset or are you disappointed? And I said, I'm not upset anymore. I'm just frankly very disappointed because I would have preferred San Francisco to beat the Cowboys by 20 points. I would have preferred.
Yeah, but that becomes apathy. Then, like that when you want to, when your team, you don't mind your team getting their ass just flat out.
I
whooped.
Prefer that because there's no hard love, right? You're just like, man, they were just the better team today. But when you see the opportunities that were there for you, the missed opportunities, the interceptions, when you get you finally get a turnover in their field position. And you end up with 3 points. And then you have the momentum swing where Dak throws the interception right before the half, and then they go down and score where you were in position to score. Those are the things that really hurt because you're sitting there and saying, and I've been defending Dak for a very long time. And
well,
now
doesn't
I
matter
can't
if
even
you
defend him
I know,
anymore.
But whether you defend him or not, he's going to be your quarterback next year.
Oh, yeah. That's what I keep trying to tell people. Yeah. I try to tell them all the time. It's like, y'all can be mad at him. You can be upset. You can say he's terrible. Don't matter.
Well,
he's your quarterback.
That's why I do agree with you because I would rather have them lost by like 30 points because then that would force the Cowboys' hand and force Jerry Jones' hand to actually make changes.
Right.
This is hope. Like, there's hope still.
We love our guys.
Right. Well, these are still
with
our
next
guys.
Year, you know, they'll be better
is still,
next year.
There is still hope. That's how Jerry feels.
Oh, we're that, just that wasn't, one player away.
That wasn't bad.
What are we doing? Because now you're about to have wholesale changes in your coaching staff, whether you force somebody out
mm-hmm.
or they get hired by somebody else because Dan Quinn is not coming back.
Is Kellen Moore good enough to be the offensive coordinator? I mean,
I think their relationship, you can say yes, but the relationship now has gotten to the point where it's stale. It's like we've had the best offense. What did it get us? We've had the fourth best offense. What did it get us?
But once again, don't say anything about the quarterback because he's not going anywhere.
We had the sixth best offense. It still hadn't gotten us anywhere. So do we have a ceiling with these two together? Or is it the lack of playmakers on the outside to help offset what you're doing?
Well,
because every time I look at other teams, let's just say it like this. When I look at San Francisco, I look at creativity.
Sure.
I see all kinds of designs. I see motion. I see waggles. I see all kinds of ways that you can line up your wide receiver in the backfield and get him on a linebacker.
And on any given week, Kellen Moore does that. Every once in a while, you'll see Kellen Moore do that, and you'll talk about we'll talk about the game that he had and look at the motion and look at Pollard lined up out there and look at the mismatches they get. But on a week in, week out, he doesn't do that. He just goes back to putting it.
It's always on the first like 20 plays. The script.
It's script.
He'll
it's
have
like Sark, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's
the scripted
it's the exact
plays.
Same thing.
And then all of a sudden, you try to figure out what happened. Why are other teams able to make an adjustment, but we continue to do the exact same thing?
One of the things is you said about the ceiling. The quarterback, that's his ceiling. The way he played this year – and the way he's going to play, unless you get phenomenal weapons on him, that's Dak Prescott's ceiling.
No, I would disagree there.
I disagree as well.
Because, he threw, 15, 16 interceptions?
17, including
playoffs.
I think
if Dak has his best year, which might have been his rookie season, if he has that kind of year on this team with this defense, I think they beat San Francisco by 8 to 10
points. I love him being a nice guy. I love him being a team guy. But there's something about that killer instinct. I just don't – I don't see it in
him.
He
looks confused sometimes on the sideline.
He looks too nice.
That's that nice guy.
Hey, do you have a mattress commercial? Do you have a sleep number commercial you want me to make?
Mattress Mac said, hey, Dak, thanks a lot. Won't you forget about that sleep number and get yourself a Tempur-Pedic?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just that there's something about that niceness to him, you know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a nice guy, but you know –
Oh, yeah, you saw it this past weekend. He was fighting Andy Reid to get back on the field.
Yeah.
He wanted to get back out there. But here's the other thing for me when it comes to Dak Prescott. When Dak was at his best, Dak was not afraid to run. Dak was running a lot more.
You watch Eagles quarterback this weekend.
Oh, I know he's going to run. But that's the thing. So when your passing game and everything seems to be a little off, you always have your legs. And he's not a fast guy. I heard you talking about it. He's not a twitch guy.
No.
He's not that guy.
But he's hesitant. There's something in his mind.
I think it was the broken leg. And let's not forget, he's got a plate in his thumb this year. And Dak is not a guy that turns the ball over on the interceptions as much. This was an alarming rate this year.
Sure.
So for him to go out there and say, I promise you I will not play like this again, I honestly believe him because I don't think this is – who he is. I don't think that's the type of player he is, but there has to be something done and something has to be changed because this year was a year where Kellen Moore was so good when Cooper Rush was there because they ran the ball.
Sure.
And I think we forgot about Terrence Steele being out, and I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would say, well, Terrence Steele being out, it changed the way the Cowboys' running game was affected. And then you also look at the fact, too, the creativity, I keep saying it. We didn't have a lot of motion this year. We didn't have – when Dak was doing play action, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, that's because your run game's going.
Because your run game had an opportunity. But you have to still have that fear of a run game.
With motions.
Because it manipulates the linebacker's eyes. You know this. I mean,
and as much as I like the Christian McCaffrey, what screws teams up is when that dude's in motion,
exactly.
He changes the movement of the defense.
Because it becomes a problem.
He becomes a real problem when he's leaving the backfield because you end up with one-on-ones out there. You don't have to worry about him running through the line.
Exactly.
He may trip over somebody in the line. You get him one-on-one out in the open
space
field there.
Space is a problem.
Yes. that's why I fear for him. But I never thought, even this year, I didn't think this was the Cowboys' year. I thought this next year coming up would be their year.
But the next year coming up, you're putting yourself in a bad situation because you're not going to have the money to be able to keep a lot of these guys. So
if the defensive coordinator, don't let that guy go to Arizona. Pay him like he's a head coach. Unless it's his time. I mean, there's a window of opportunity for you. And that defense is not going to stay that great for that long. Just the way the NFL goes. You know, you have 2-year, 3-year run and your defense is great. And then all of a sudden that goes downward. I think last year, this year, and next year will be incredible defense by the Dallas Cowboys. I think they'll find another cornerback somewhere, somehow, because they just have to. I thought when Van Der Esch was out, they couldn't stop the run.
Correct.
As much as people don't like that dude, I think that guy's fantastic against the run.
I had to eat crow on that one, too. I had to eat crow on Van Der Esch as well because he was not my favorite person in a while. And I'm like,
but he'll throw his face in there.
You got to keep this guy.
He'll throw his face and hurt his neck and everything else in the run game.
Yep.
You know, when they start playing him at defensive end, I was like, what the hell is that guy can't do anything out there on the perimeter.
Yeah, that is not who he is.
They're going to run around him. You need to put him back in the middle. But
what do you think the biggest – I know you said Dan Quinn. You can't let him go out. But again,
he's going to do what he feels is best for him.
Absolutely.
So nobody has any control over Dan Quinn with that, except for Jerry can say – you want to get paid like a head coach staying here?
But do you think it's more of the pay or is it more of the opportunity of being a head coach again?
Oh, opportunities are going to be there as long as your defense is good. And I said that 3-year window still next year is another – somebody's going to get fired again next year and his name will come up if this defense plays the way it should. It's not going to take a drop. I mean, they're not going to take a huge drop. Micah Parsons is not going to let them take a huge drop. And you're going to – Lawrence is going to get paid.
What's the best place for him? What's the best place for him? Not, I don't think Arizona's the best place. They have a lot of talent there. I don't know what he's going to do with the quarterback situation.
He can work his magic still with Denver's defense. He's going to have a –
Denver does have a high-quality defense.
But he's also going to lose people, as he said, and that's true. If he goes, there are going to be some guys on that defensive team, on that defensive staff that are going with him.
Correct.
You know, they're going to go. They're going to head with Dan Quinn. So you're not just losing Dan Quinn. You're going to lose some guys on defense. And some would say, well, maybe we should lose a secondary guy or whatever, or linebacker coach. But dude, he's not going by himself when he leaves your
no doubt
your staff.
No doubt.
Others are going to go with Dan Quinn to get a fresh start.
I might want
to
go with Dan Quinn.
There you go. There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. Mike Hart's joining us today, live, local, and digital. That's right. That's exactly what we are. E. Hogan taking a couple days off. B&E on a Wednesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E Wednesday, hump day, which means I got Mike is here with me. Love that. Mike Hart's joining me this morning. Do I appreciate that?
Appreciate you, brother.
And tomorrow, Monty Williams. That's right. The great Monty Williams joins us at 6 to 8. And Zay Collier will then come in. We'll get a lot of basketball talk with Zay. If he knows anything about basketball, just barely able to dunk himself.
I got a chance to listen to Zay and Roger Wallace last night doing the Georgetown and Pflugerville Conley game. Zay gets in his bag every once
does
in a while.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does a great job
old
on that.
Old school
so
ass that he is.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Rec guy going down to the rec center down there defeating all those guys that come off the street and play. Let's take this call. Chris, welcome to B&E this morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
morning.
Up, buddy?
Hey, yeah, y'all said it plenty of times where Jerry Jones, he gets too personal. He gets too close with these players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done it in the past, and he's doing it right now with Dak, and he did it with Zeke. And we've already seen the ceiling. We've seen the ceiling with Dak. It's year after year, same thing. He can be a different OC. Different coach, probably. Who knows? It's going to be the same outcome. You know, just like, what was his name? Herman used to say about the definition of insanity.
Just doing the same thing over and over and over. Yeah, I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you for the phone call this morning. I just think, for me, I do feel like there's a ceiling. No, that guy's not going to throw as many interceptions. He told us, I'm not throwing that many interceptions next year. And I can believe that, too. You better not.
Yeah.
I don't care where you are. You better not be throwing that many interceptions.
Right.
Or maybe you can't throw. Or maybe he can throw. But when I start, you know, Ty, when I said he owes this one from the week before, when I start thinking that dude's going to throw a pick a game, and I said, well, he got through Tampa, so he owes us another one. So that means he got to throw two. And he did. And
you spoke it into existence.
I texted him after the first one. I was like, all right, well, there's the interception.
It's early.
And he instantly was like, well, he's got one more.
And he did. He owed us one. I mean, he's just – I love those nice guys, but I don't know. I guess I need to have a little bit of a bitch at quarterback like Tom Brady.
Yeah, you need somebody that gets after it, right?
Yeah, who's not afraid to walk over to an offensive lineman. You know, I was around Doug Flutie for 5 years, and I've never seen a little Kyler Murray-looking look-alike dude that would come into a huddle. I mean, I saw him kick a lineman right in the ass. I mean, right square, right down the crack one time at a practice where Doug got hit by accident because the guy – like went the wrong way.
Right.
He walked back in the huddle. He kicked this guy square in the crack.
And they didn't do anything to him.
He didn't
do
anything but stick his head back in the huddle and say, don't do that. Don't ever do that to me.
Right.
Man.
Right. Well, I think Dak has that in him. I just don't think he shows it on the sideline. Maybe he does it during practice. I want to believe that he has that dog in him.
I see him give everybody a little dap when he comes in the huddle all the time. Give me a little fist there. I'm like, come on, man.
Trying to pump him up, Buck. We're trying to
pump in the sunshine. They're in the damn NFL. You don't need to be pumping them up. That paycheck is what pumps them up.
Hey, great point.
That paycheck ought to pump you up and keeping your
and getting that playoff paycheck. Man. Get another one. You know, I'm with you. I just wish that we could see the Cowboys playing in an NFC championship game. And you keep talking about the window, right?
Yes.
And Jerry's been talking about it. That's why he was so distraught the other day. E. Hogan talking about walking to Dallas, and he's never feared it, just because we've seen this act before. We've seen this entire show of the Dallas Cowboys. But my question is, what is it going to take for the Cowboys to get over the hump? We could talk about Jerry.
Okay.
We could talk about the quarterback. We could talk about the defense.
Once again.
What is it?
Once again, the quarterback's not going anywhere, so you've got to surround him with weapons. If Brock Purdy can do it with the 49ers, I don't care how intelligent Shanahan is, if Brock Purdy can be your quarterback, it's because of the weapons that he has. It ain't because of Brock Purdy is he's really, really good. He throws a really, really nice ball. Yeah, he threw some nice slants the other day. There are a lot of quarterbacks that can throw that slant.
You're
maybe
in the
not,
NFL.
Maybe not Dak, but there's a lot of other quarterbacks.
Brock Purdy's not doing any more than Cooper Rush did when he started for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I can say that. Cooper Rush can throw those slant routes that Brock Purdy's throwing. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks can throw an open slant to a guy coming across the middle. But Dak needs to be surrounded by better players. And, I go back to Amari Cooper. There's certain guys, I'll go ahead and lose the game. I know that's pretty simplistic. And everybody talks about how they needed to have, that guy. Not me. I don't want that guy on my team at wide receiver. That guy doesn't play hard on the road.
He had a tough time on the road.
Yeah, he didn't bring it enough for me.
He used to have some tough times, big games. He was not showing up.
I don't need that. You can go find some guys that'll give it to you.
But it seems
the Giants
like a lot
got
of
a guy on the practice squad, number 18, going in there and playing ball.
Yeah, he got shut down last week, Buck.
Yeah, by the good ones.
Yeah, by the good ones.
Right, a good one will shut him down if you're just a piece of junk. I know what you're saying. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back. Mike Hart's joining us. We'll get back to some Cowboys talk. Some more Longhorn talk and some more Longhorn football talk when we return on B&E.